Raised Rowdy. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. My name is Kurt Ozon.
And I'm Nikki T. And we're here this week with our special guest, Miss Ashlyn Kraft.
How's it going?
Yeah. Ashlyn, thank you so much for hopping back on the podcast with us.
It's been a while.
I know. It's been a while. I was your first podcast ever. I don't know if you remember, but I remember. And it was awesome.
In a hotel room. Yeah. After giving tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got tattoos from our buddy Mike.
Yeah.
And... you were on the road with, it was pre-COVID.
Whenever that was.
Yeah. I know. It seems like it already was makes like me 10 drink. Years ago. Pre-COVID, honestly, pretty close before all that went down.
It was the first half of that tour, and then COVID hit right in the middle, and we were on a break.
Yeah.
And we were about to go back, and that obviously didn't happen, so.
Yeah. But that was my first, also, time, like, really being in a green room was that.
Really?
That weekend too.
What yeah. What was the show?
It was Wallen, Langston, Ashland. So
hell yeah.
We were with Stahl, who is We were with Stahl, who of course is like super close with Langston, and like had tattooed like Luke extensively already at that point.
Yeah.
And then that was his first one he did for you, right?
Yeah, I did the whiskey glasses roadshow tattoo. I can't remember which arm it's on this one.
You got it.
Yeah, I had to do something to commemorate my. It was my first tour. So your first time in a green room, my first tour. So it was a lot of firsts for
us. First podcast. What a blessing.
Yes.
Well, man, it's been a few years since then.
It has.
And lots of life in between, as we talked about the fun time of COVID when no one did anything.
Yeah.
But then back to the music world, which... we're super thankful to have you back.
So happy to be back.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, you were just kind of dropping singles.
Yes.
And you were just like starting to get into doing the thing.
Yeah.
And since then, I mean, you've had debut record. You have a bunch of songs after that. Just a whirlwind of events.
Yeah. I'm trying to just keep that train rolling, you know?
Yes,
yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah. So, since then, I mean, one thing that was cool for me was also listening to hear that you are on the highway and Hooker made the highway. The video that you guys did when that happened, you were like, wait, what song? What?
Oh my gosh. When I say, cause my mom had the most stern look on her face, and we were about to walk into my brother's wedding, oh my gosh, what is it? The thing before the wedding, rehearsal dinner. Thank you very much. And they just had this concerned look on their face. And so I look up and I'm like, what happened? You know, in my mind, all these things are, talk about trauma, right?
Yeah.
But, and then, yeah. So she told me that song was going to be on the highway, and I was mind blown that it was going to be a song named Hooker. So,
and mom was not happy about that. Is that the vibe?
She was probably happy still.
She was, they love that song.
Oh, okay.
She loves singing that song to my dad. So I think it worked out.
I think that's the cool part about that song is it's a little cheeky, you know what I mean? Of course, but it is very much where you'll see a girl look at their man and like, give a little bit of sass, you know.
I love it.
That's what we hoped for, because like it's funny, I'm like the third wheel in my best friend's marriage, and her husband has always wanted her to write a song about him, so I put in my two cents and we came up with Hooker. So it turned out to be a good little fun song that it felt like very 90s, you know.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, I had like that retro feel for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So the last year's been freaking crazy for you.
It has.
I mean,
a roller coaster.
Yeah. So we have all of
up and down.
All of that. So you're on, you know, you hit the highway for the first time ever, and you played the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh my gosh,
which just happened.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that. Like, who told you that you were going to be on the Opry?
Well, one of my bucket list artists, Cody Johnson.
Yeah.
I've gotten to do some touring with him in the past, but obviously, like, Grand Ole Opry was something that everybody looks forward to, but I didn't know when that would happen for me. I was just kind of like, it'll happen whenever it's supposed to happen. And then we played the Ole Red birthday bash, and I love Ole Red because they kind of gave me my first set of gigs whenever I moved to town.
Yeah.
And then Cody Johnson pops up on the screen and invited me to come play the Opry, my debut Opry show. So I was mind blown. I don't know how I didn't. I said it on the video, but I don't know how I didn't pass out because I was like, if I could have chosen anybody, that definitely would have been one of my top picks. So very, very thankful for that. And then, I stressed out for the next 3 months up until it came and had a magical night. So
very well deserved.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
How do they go about picking who gets to play? Because it's not just popularity.
No, I'm honestly not sure. I know it's probably a committee or people that they have on their team that do it, but I'm not super familiar.
Because I think they'll have people play it that aren't as popular as other people or vice versa, but it's like if your music is in the country realm more
in a more traditional way,
then you're more likely to be selected than like someone that's doing like a real pop kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I'm sure there's people that like apply and ask to play. You know, they're like, hey, I'd love to do
this. I just think it's extra cool because it's more based on music than it is on other things.
Yes.
So I think that makes it to me more of an honor than other
absolutely.
Things. And it's like this number of streams or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I was in no rush, because people would ask me up until that point, they were like, have you played the opera yet? And I was like, actually, no. And they would, you know, say whatever about it. But I'm like, you know, honestly, like, if I would have played it back then when I thought I was ready, I don't think I would have been able to, like, fully grasp the immense honor that it was. I don't know. I mean, I've always appreciated it, but I think just watching over time and really being able to work and finally get to that point has been very rewarding. And just being in those walls with those pictures and those people's names, like,
so cool.
Those are the moments that make it worth it. It kind of brings you back to earth a little bit. You're like, okay, this is what we came here for.
Yeah.
And did you do two or three songs?
I did two songs.
Which songs did you play?
I played Traveling Kind, which was obviously the name of my debut record. I wanted to be able to showcase kind of like, you know, who I was coming into this. And hopefully people don't think that's changed a ton, because I don't. But I wanted to showcase that album, but also a little bit of what was coming. So I played Mama Don't Pray Like She Used To, which I dedicated to my mama, because I was like, I've sang songs about other people's moms, but never one for mine. So this one's for you, Mom.
That's so great.
Yeah.
And Ashley came and introduced you on stage, too.
Yes.
So
talk about mind-blowing.
It's her birthday today, I think.
Is it?
I think so.
Happy birthday, Happy Ashley.
Birthday. Well, I know you have been, you know, friends with her for a while, and she'd taken you out a couple times on the road as well.
Yeah. Love her so much. And I've written with her a couple times now, too, and actually had written with her the day before the Opry, which was crazy because every time I think of the Opry, I feel like these days, I think back to her performance of Girl Going Nowhere and how impactful of a moment that was for her. And so after our riot, I'd actually text her. I was like, hey, I actually have an extra ticket if you're, you know, around tomorrow and available to come out. I'm having my Opry debut. And I think she was going in studio or something. So she texted me and she was like, I'd love to be there. I have to be in studio. I'm so sorry. I know you're going to crush it. You know, that type of thing. So completely understood. And then I was backstage at the Opry and somebody told me they were like, you need to come out in the hallway. And I was like, oh gosh, what's happening? Because when they say it, you never know. And then I walked out and her and Shelly were standing out there. I was like, you're here. You made it.
She fibbed.
She is so kind. I love her as a person. And I think I've loved watching her journey here, because I think she represents so many of us that are just here to do what we love, and there's not really extra bells and whistles. I think Luke Combs is another great example of that, but it's just like they are who they are, and what you see is what you get. So I was very thankful that she was the one to introduce me on that day. It was really cool. Full circle. Cool.
Yeah, when I think of the, like, what I call the badasses in country music in the female sphere, you guys are both in that group of people I always mention every time. So super cool.
She lit that path. So
it's shows you that that's like there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's your way. And like, she's someone that, I mean, you know, had her moment a little bit later in her career, but it's her star shining just as brightly as anyone's. You know?
Yeah. And so many people look up to her too. And you hear just the talk around town about how genuine people are. And she is one of those top people. So I think that's what everybody hopes to maintain throughout this roller coaster of a journey, is just being a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I mean, it's one of the things I talk about is like every time you see someone, that's the only time they ever see you.
Right.
So it's like you have to be on all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a hard thing to do. So.
And with her, though, it never feels like it is. That's the thing, is she doesn't feel like she's on or off. It's just nice person all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. Yeah, exactly.
I've known her since the Blue Bar days. And she just has, like Luke, just hasn't changed at all. And yeah. It's just a sweetie pie.
I love that.
Yeah.
I feel so, like they're in it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Yes, that's it. Have you, so I know you've been writing for some new stuff as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about the new record deal.
Let's do it.
So Leo 33.
Yes.
So the other artist they have, Zach Top, who we're big fans of as well.
Yeah, he's and crushing Paulette, it. Yes.
Yeah, who we love as well. And if you look at that lineup and you see like pretty traditional sounding,
yep.
You know, lives in that realm. I think you fit in amazingly in that lineup.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's like one of the hopes I feel like is to keep those traditional roots throughout all of this.
Yeah.
Because I do have a lot of influences, but yeah. I do feel like I want to keep country the way I kind of knew it and loved mm-hmm. listening to growing up, in yeah. a sense. It's somewhere in there. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, it's like, I think it's a mix of that. I mean, if you listen to Zach Top, even though he sounds like 90s country,
yeah.
it's like his version of it, though.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And even when he sings, like, I got to see his album release show, and even when he sings covers, he kind of makes those his own also.
Which is what makes an artist.
Exactly.
I feel like, as opposed to copycatting or, yeah. you know, just doing that cover just as good as, let's say, Tennessee Whiskey Chris Stapleton. Like, yeah. yeah, you can do it just as good, but it's also better to hear it in your own
way.
Rendition and your
yeah, that's
own
even a cover. That's, you know, shows how good a cover could be.
Right.
It's like a George Jones song. He changed
it. Exactly.
He put it in three instead of four and like.
Yeah.
Made cool. it his own.
Yeah.
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 It's cool to see that, but it's also like, it's an ode to those things where it's like, when I saw that Zach Top show, I was kind of blown away by not only how good he was at singing his own songs, but also his versions of those staples,
yeah.
which are 2000s and 90s staples, but some of the stuff was like mid-2000s.
Right.
It's just that same vibe, and he made it even probably more country the way he sang it. You
which
know?
You gotta love him for, because
yeah.
I don't know. Cool. I think growing up for me too, YouTube was the big thing.
Yeah.
For us in like middle and high school, and I always, that's how I found a lot of my favorite artists was from looking up covers of songs,
yeah,
and seeing how they kind of made it their own, and you would mm-hmm. find people that you really didn't even know about just because they crushed it.
Yep.
And you want to listen to that version now instead of the original.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's crazy how that works sometimes. Like in the music industry, we'll hear a demo and we'll get stuck on that, but then sometimes you'll hear a cover and you get stuck on that.
Yep.
You know? So it's super interesting. But I mean, I think that's part of it is like, what's your take on that thing?
You yep. know?
Country music as a whole has always done kind of standards, like way more than even now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had people that the same artists, or well, 20 artists cut the same song, you know?
Right, yeah.
So it was like, it was very much like that in the past. So I think that's kind of one of the reasons why covers sometimes, you know, push through as well. Is
yeah.
there is a history of that in the genre.
Yeah.
You know?
You see so much personality and stylistic choices, so to speak, yeah. when people cover other songs.
Yeah. So who have you been working with for production?
I've been working with two fellas, Lee Starr and Jess Grommet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually, Lee I've known since I've kind of moved here. I was introduced to him by Willie Morrison. And we've got us three, myself, Lee, and Willie have a bunch of songs that we've written together. And then Jess, I actually met through Willie as well and my friend Corey. And they had written together, brought me in on a write one time. And then we all just kind of hit it off. And so I think Lee and Jess both have such great ears for production in such different ways. So I felt like it would just be a really cool power group to get us all three together to get to work on some songs. And Lee just, we've been friends for so long that I feel like he knows me really well.
Yeah.
And he's also like a no BS kind of person.
Yeah.
And so I trust that about him. Mm-hmm. I trust that he's not just feeding me fluff or telling me what I want to hear. He's very just, I think, to the point, and I appreciate that so much about him.
Yeah.
And Jess is just wild. He can play, I mean, both of them are musically very talented, but Jess just has this creative brain that he just loves music in general and always has these cool, unique ideas, shreds the guitar and other instruments. Like, they're both just great, and they're really good people as well. And I was like, how cool would it be to get to come up in this town and in this business with none other than your friends, the people that you know are working their butts off so hard, just as much of you as you, if not more,
yep.
to make a name for themselves.
Absolutely.
So that's the goal.
Yeah.
And as your star rises, you bring them up with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know Lee is someone that you've co-written with. Some of your singles that you've had out have been with him.
Yeah, got a good many.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, like, that's someone that, like you said, you trust, but I think that's an important part, too, is knowing that the people that you have your back.
Yes.
You know?
And are going to be honest with you.
Yes.
Not say, oh, every song sounds great. Like, great, but...
Which one sounds best?
Right. Yeah. And I don't need you to not hurt my feelings. I think you just want to write the best stuff and make the best decisions. And you find those people that have your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
And I feel like that just kind of helps the process, you know, that are just good people.
Yeah.
And work hard.
Yeah. I love that. And so when this is dropping, your new single will have been out. So why don't you talk to us about the new single?
The next single I'm doing is called Morning Person. Mm-hmm. I released Night Owl in my kind of independent stage. And now Morning Person is next. And I think it'll be my first release. I shouldn't say I think. It'll be my first release on the with the new label.
Yeah.
So very excited about that. That new label has been phenomenal just at sending really cool songs. Like, just collaboration has been through the roof, out of this world. The people that make up Leo 33 are just so knowledgeable at what they do, but they also love music and love people. And I think that just shows so well through everything that they do, especially with what they have going on right now with Zach and Jenna, and just watching how they work behind the scenes with the stuff that we're trying to do. They're very strategic, but in the most sensical way, because strategic is not in our vocabulary as creators. Yeah. It's in a way that is like, okay, I understand this. I get why we're trying to do it this way. So it's really nice to be able to understand the process. But Morning Person is kind of, in my opinion, it's my first love song that I've ever released. Mm-hmm. So that's new. Mm-hmm. All of my last album and last singles were kind of about leaving or somebody else leaving and just everything else. And so I wanted to wait to release the love song, but I felt like this was perfect because, for one, all my folks out there that are in really good relationships, so happy. But also, I think it talks a lot to working relationships and just like being able to find a new part of life that you're like, oh, I found me. I found myself again. Like, I didn't know it could get this much sweeter. So, yeah, it's a little bit of both for if you're in a relationship, not in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like new beginnings.
I love it.
Yeah.
And this was, sorry, Nick. This is one of the tunes I played on.
Too, it right? is.
So that's cool.
Kurt sprinkled some magic on it.
Yeah. Played some steel guitar on it.
That's the best too. I remember like when we first like were having rounds and stuff, and you were playing. Kurt was just like, "Ashlyn's playing. Okay, I'm not missing this one."
And I'm like, "Kurt's playing. Yeah. Hell yeah. Am I supposed to be here?"
Yeah. No, but it's super cool. And I mean, from the time like you know when I moved officially to town, which was not too long after that first podcast,
yeah.
To now, just like getting to watch your journey and. You know, it's a journey.
It's a journey.
Yeah, it is, but that's part of it, you know?
Yeah.
If I was, like, I remember when I started Rowdy on the Row with Kurt, and we, like, were doing the thing. Charlie was like, okay, where do you go from here? I'm like, well, Luke Combs just played the bar for free, so Eric Church isn't coming next week, so we're going to go down gracefully.
You got to start somewhere, though.
But that's it. Like, if the world was all up, then you wouldn't appreciate it.
You wouldn't.
Much,
yeah.
You know? You have to go through some stuff to make it so that when it does go up, you're like, hell yeah.
Absolutely. And I think just it's part of learning in life too, because I feel like even the things that happen here in the music world, they happen
everywhere.
Yeah. It's just in a different shape, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's all the part of growing up and life is, you got to go through the bad stuff to appreciate the good stuff. Mm-hmm. So cliche, but it is so true.
It really is. And honestly, it's like, how do you get your headspace from wherever it was to wherever it is and wherever it's going to be?
Yeah.
You know?
Just got to go with the flow.
Yeah, exactly.
Be ready to take it as it comes.
Yeah.
It
gives you more to write about.
Yeah. Amen.
Absolutely.
And that's the good thing about our career is that if there are days that we just are ready to scream and yell and punch a wall, we can write a song about it that at least even if nobody else hears it, we know that it's there and it's more therapeutic in a sense.
Yeah, it's a good outlet. And I'm not a co-writer, of course. Like, I don't write. I don't know how to be that good, but
you would crush it. You would crush it.
I think you could be a good writer.
I think so too.
I don't know. I don't know how to melody good, but
that's all right.
You got Ashlyn.
Yeah.
Co-writes, baby. Yeah, co-writes.
I'll get the chords and the vibe going.
All right.
I'll get the melody. You throw us the words.
All right. I mean, I probably won't be good at that either, but yeah.
You know, just some trucks and some beers and stuff.
Yeah. It's yeah, really just all the buzzwords.
Yeah. But it feels like it's one of those things where if you're in a room with people that you care about, or even maybe someone that you're new, you can kind of be vulnerable around them.
Yeah.
And that's the process, right?
Yes.
It's almost like therapy every time you do it.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit.
That's the goal. And you do have days where you're in a new room with people you have just written with for the first time. But I think that's what's been amazing about this last year for me is I've gotten to kind of book my rights and really be intentional about who I'm getting in the room with, which I want to write with everybody because I'm the type of person you never know what you're going to get from day to day. So, but it is that during those times in your life where writing with people who really know you, or I mean, just at least know your music or your life, one or the other, they can help kind of steer that ship a little bit better.
For sure.
On days that you can't really find the words, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a cool part of it too, is you can tell someone and they know enough of your story already to kind of help point it in the right direction.
Yeah. You know? Either I overshare too much or...
Well, no such thing with your friends. You know,
right?
Your closest ones.
Oh, they hear it all. But that's the best part is just you never know what songs are gonna come out of it and then what that's going to lead to down the road.
Yeah.
So it's all a journey and a process and you just got to embrace it and take it as it comes at you, good and bad.
So sorry if you said this already, but so when is Morning Person coming?
It's already dropped, so we're working on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Congrats on the release. Yeah. Is it August 1st?
We're gonna have to cut this up.
What?
22. It's already out. They don't have a firm date. So they're waiting to confirm the date.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. So it is out now, but we'll just cut this part out.
Yay.
Oops. You're good. All right, say something else.
Well, so you have a new tour coming up?
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Yay. Okay, cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the new tour coming up?
I got a couple of different dates with a couple of different people. Okay. Very excited about that. Going to be back out on the road with Cody Johnson.
Love those boys.
Man, just country music.
Yeah.
You just get out on stage and watch them, or side stage, I should say. And it's just, again, it's one of those things like, this is what I moved here for, even though you're not in Nashville, you're somewhere else. But I actually learned about Cody Johnson back in the day. I was seeing a fella from Texas at one point in time, went to visit Texas, and they all talked about this fella named Cody Johnson. And checked him out, loved him, and then all these years later, still loved him. And now getting to tour with him again, I'm like, I don't know. It's just hard to top that, you know. I think that's going to be a really great ending to the year. And then also Tucker Wetmore.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out on a couple dates with him. Up and coming guy.
Yeah. He's having some crazy.
Yeah, he's
right
crushing
now.
It. So I'm going to jump out on some tour dates with him. I think in Ohio, a couple other places, just all over. So very excited about that. Rick's in Mississippi.
Starkle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been there. Stayed at the Red Roof Inn down near there one time.
We went to that venue and man, just the stuff on the wall is crazy. And like, you kind of see like the music that he loves.
Yeah.
Because you see all the bands that he's had played, like the Texas leaning stuff, the more traditional stuff.
Yes, you know? Stuff we love.
Yeah. And then also the bathrooms there are unforgettable. At least the boys' bathroom. It's just like troughs. It just makes you feel like you're back.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
It's pure chaos. Yeah.
That's the kind of joints I love, though.
I know, me too.
Oh, they don't have that here in Nashville.
The Rusty Nail, not too far down the road here.
Okay.
True.
Has, for the boys' bathroom, it is the bottom of like a plastic shower that you pee in.
Love that.
Yep.
Love that for y'all.
It's very on brand. You know?
I'm curious what the girls' bathroom looks like now.
I imagine it's just one stall. Yeah, I would imagine that's what you're getting.
I love it. No, that's the type of stuff I came up in.
Yeah.
Like back in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. That was, we had, what was it, Wild Hogs or... Something like the Shady Lady.
Yeah.
We've got some spots back in South Carolina. So any places like that, please recommend them to me. Because
I love a good dive bar.
Me too.
And then Wendell's.
Yeah, Wendell's.
Yep.
It's a little step up from a dive bar.
Yeah.
It's a little bit nicer, but it's a honky tonk. Yeah. I'll call it that.
And that's one of the spots you like started playing in, right?
Yes. Yeah. I gigged a little bit before and I worked a couple different jobs. I worked at Academy Sports and Outdoors at the time when I applied to work at Wendell's. Mm-hmm. And there was this website. I can't remember what it's called now, but it's like it's something where you could find band members.
Yeah.
And I posted on there. And some lady called me one day while I was working at Academy. And she was like, hey, we have some auditions for our house band. And I asked my manager, and he was like, well, if you go, like, you'll get fired. But honestly, if I were you, like, I would just go do it. And so I quit that night, and I went and did it. And
oh, your manager at the sports place?
Yeah, at the Academy. Yeah. He was like, well, this will happen, but if I were you, go for it.
Yeah, you can get another job at Academy.
Yeah. So basically, I can't ever get hired at Academy again, I don't think. But
I think you'll be all right.
Yeah. All in the name of music. But yeah, Wendell's was the spot. And I think that's why I have such high expectations for honky tonks.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I always look for. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to find that around here. So Rusty Nail.
Yeah.
Good to know.
It's have you played at Cahoots at all?
I don't think so I've heard of it.
It's like a little bit north of the city, and it's they'll do like DJs and like line dancing and stuff there.
Okay.
But it definitely has the like honky tonk feel too.
Yeah
It's like a slightly ratchet honky tonk.
I love that.
Yeah. But that's one of the reasons we love Losers is just like Losers is just like a crappy honky tonk.
I do love Losers,
you know.
Also Nashville Palace is it's not crappy, but it's got the line dancing and the honky tonk feel. So yeah,
I would say crappy in a bad way.
Yes,
I say that in the like best. I love it.
That's like the highest honor.
Yes,
in dive bar terms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if a dive bar is too nice, then it's like it better be really nice. Like having said that, like Shulman's in East. Have you been there?
I haven't.
Okay,
I was there last night.
Yeah, so that bar rules.
Yeah,
but it is a bar that they made look like a dive bar that's not a dive bar, which I'm cool with.
Okay,
you know, it's like if there was an in-town bar, but the food was really good instead of really bad.
Okay.
And the dartboards actually worked.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's that kind of bar.
There's a
smoking section, but it's like outside and it's basically inside.
Just flows inside.
Yeah. We'll have to take Ashlyn there sometime.
It's all about the personalities for me.
Same.
That's what I want to do is I want to go have a beer and people watch.
Yeah. People watch, but also like be able to talk to my friends.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I like. I'm like, there's times where I'm going to a bar to meet new people, but the majority of the times I'm going to the bar to hang out with the people that I'm going to the bar with.
Right. And line dance.
Yeah.
In my occasion.
Yeah.
That was always our fun every weekend. So it's like, as long as there's dancing and cheap beer.
Yeah.
Which that's the other main thing, is at a good dive bar, you can get a pitcher for $2, $3.
Yeah.
In some places from where I'm from, $3 pitcher. Mm-hmm.
That's God like my bless. First move to town. I went to Red Door and I ordered a beer and they were like $2. And I was like, I was living in Boston beforehand. I was like,
are you sure?
I'm moving here. I'm like, yep.
Now they are not $2 anymore. Yeah.
And I used more to like seven.
When
but
I used to play on Broadway, I would go to, what's that, Trailer Park Bar?
Paradise Park.
Paradise Park.
Oh, yeah.
And I would, you know, we'd make $40, $50 over 4 hours. And then I would just put it all back in the Natty Light pitchers.
There you go.
Natty Light pitchers, baby.
Yeah.
Dive bars are like, I'm convinced, what prepared me for this town.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, there's such a great spot too. And I think that's what I miss too, is local places that people can actually play.
Yeah.
Dive bar wise. Like, yeah. I don't know. It just builds character. It really does. It's like, it's a tough crowd to appease. So
yeah,
it really teaches you how to work the room, so to speak.
Yes, it does. Yeah. That's one of the things, too, is like if you're playing a bar where there is usually loud cover music and it's not cover music, you have to take the crowd.
Yeah.
But you have to know how to do that. And you're not going to know the first time you hit a stage. You
right.
know? You learn how to build that crowd. And then you take that into, okay, this is how I take the crowd when I'm at a crowd who people are here to see the headliner.
Right.
You know, so like that relates in my head directly to opening slots.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
And then once you get to where it's your show, then you know you got all those people in the palm of your hand and you just take them for a journey.
Oh, yeah. That's the goal. That's what I'm excited about, is really working on playing like headlining shows and it's funny because before I moved to Nashville, like that's all we were doing. We were traveling, my band and myself, we were traveling all over. My drummer was booking us at the time. And we were driving all over playing hour and a half, 2 hour headlining shows for people that didn't even really know us. When we were, it was cover songs and originals, but so now it's funny to move to town and kind of work back in that opening slot. But it is, it's fun. I don't know. It just, it really kind of makes you work for it even more again. You're like, all right, like you said, they're here to see so-and-so, but it'd be really cool if they could leave Ashland Craft fans too. Mm-hmm. So
Like, I remember watching your show when you opened for Hardy at, I think it was the Cannery. We were, that was before I moved to town. But kind of right before COVID, I guess. Like, it was after we had the podcast with you, but before actually COVID, we were down here for my buddy John and Jenny's wedding. And it was that weekend, so we rolled our whole crew to that.
Yeah, I think that was one of the last shows like we had played before all that.
It was like February. Before like the year and a half of Abyss, you know? But it was super cool watching you hit stage with that too. And Heather and Brandy were there, and they of course always have loved you so much.
I love them.
So it was great to get to experience that show with them. And I mean, you crushed that too. So it's of course. And it's that's just the thing is like, okay, how can you take that crowd and make them yours?
Yes. Or
make a chunk of them yours.
Yeah.
You know? And when you're doing sets, like when you're figuring out what to play, do you factor in like who you're opening for is like when you're designing it, or are you guys doing the same set either way?
I like to factor in, I think, and I really like this question because I don't really ever get to talk about like set formation, but I mean, a lot of it right now is we're playing festivals and opening slots. So I think the goal is always to be as high energy as possible. So it's not like it's like sways my set list, but I do like to try to build around the mood that's coming up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is kind of fun to get to do that. But it really only kind of happens for like when I'm opening for somebody like headlining wise, but festivals, we're just like balls to the walls. Just trying to get all the high energy out there, because I just think that's what festivals are about. It's really hard to put a slow song in there, and maybe it's not, and I overthink that, but for me, I'm just so used to like I want to be pouring sweat by the time I get off the stage. So again, working in a honky tonk, that's just kind of what I'm used to, because everybody was line dancing and you had to give people music to dance to all the time. So it's a little bit of everything. The headliners influence that. My mood influences the set list. I'm like, what are we feeling today? So, set list making is fun for me. I'm excited to incorporate new stuff.
Like, depending on like who we were opening for, it was like, if we're opening for Brantley, it's like you might rock the setup a little bit more. But it's like opening for Darius, it's like maybe it's like a little more lighthearted, fun party vibe.
Exactly. You know?
So with Kojo, it'll probably be like, let's keep it country.
Yep.
And then, you know, with Tucker, it might be more of like the party vibe. You never know.
A little bit more of loose. I'll maybe get to try some songs that, I don't know. That's another thing, too, is for that one, I'm going to be acoustic for the Tucker Wetmore dates. And I love being acoustic as well, because you get to try out new stuff that you've not let anybody hear. You just get to try out stuff in general and get a general vibe for how they accept that song. And so before you're moving on to like a full band set, you're like, well, this song did or didn't go exactly how I planned. In the acoustic, like everybody went and got their beers as opposed to listening. So maybe we won't put that in the full band set. But I don't know. It's just a fun experimenting time. And it also just takes me back to the days sitting on my bed playing, like just learning my acoustic guitar, posting videos on YouTube. It's just, it's fun to keep it mixed up throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't get stale.
Are those videos still on YouTube?
You know, I think people in the past tried to hide them, but I was like, I'm going to put them back up. So yes, some of them are still there, but you will see me cover everything from Brantley Gilbert to One Direction to Sleeping with Sirens, who nobody knows who that is. You will find a lot of my past influences on YouTube from my bed series.
Yeah. I think that's cool though. I mean, in my head, it's like, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And if it looks like it didn't start anywhere and it just popped up at the moment, then it looks like it's fake.
Yeah.
You know, like you need the backstory of how you got where you were going so that you can kind of flow through that to where you're going to keep going too.
Right. You know? Yeah. And that was the start of it. Cause that, like I said, that was when I just learned to play guitar and I had no general sense of direction for what music even was. I just liked music. So yeah. I was just playing to play and yeah, I don't know. Those were just the innocent days. I miss those days of just posting the covers. And I actually, that was the first time I'd actually kind of had some traction on YouTube. Country Rebel, I believe it was. I was 17, I believe. I'd posted a cover of Burning It Down by Jason Aldean. And they had reposted it. And at the time, that was the kind of thing that was just popping off, was they were just sharing a lot of random artists. And that was the first time anybody had ever saw my name. So I just kept doing it. And here we are all these years later. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
10 years?
I mean.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Because I was about 16, 17 then. I'm 28 now. So yeah.
Crazy.
10 years of bed singing and running around in a Yukon.
Well, I think that's part of it too, is there's no right or wrong way for anyone to get to anywhere.
Right.
But you put in the reps, like you were doing those full band shows, you know, before things were really like popping off.
Yeah. And,
you know, you knew how to make your voice stretch that long.
Yeah.
That's specifically with a vocal. That's a hard thing to do, you know, like really figure out how to make it last a 2 hour set. Which before you're going to headline shows, even smaller shows, you better have it make it 90 minutes.
And the only thing that helps with that is being on the road and getting those reps in. Because, I mean, it is hard, especially with a raspy voice naturally. And me singing a little bit like more, I don't want to say in-your-face songs, but just singing a little bit more powerful, so to speak. Yeah. It really, you have to learn how to control that in order to not lose your voice halfway through the set. So it just comes with practice and discipline in the bars, not drinking, all that stuff as well. So
that's the hard part too, is like everybody thinks that you're just living like a rock star, and
some people do.
If you do, then your show probably eventually is gonna show that.
Yeah,
you
know?
Suffer, yeah.
Yeah.
It gets hard on the road, and you know, instead of being tip-top enjoyable shape vocally, exactly, and then you're pushing through instead of enjoying your time on stage.
Yes,
we can get your head in a weird spot
where
you feel like anxious to do it as opposed to like happy that you're doing it.
And that's the whole goal of this for me anyways, is longevity. You know, I didn't want to jump in here, make a quick buck and then leave. I think for me this is a lifestyle, you know. It's not just like a job, so trying to make that last as long as possible is really important. So I guess it's probably a good thing that they took smoking out of bars for that reason, but
I remember back in the day, cause I'm old. So I remember back in the day when every time you went to a bar, you came home and you had to like take your clothes off at the door and immediately wash them or put them in. If you didn't have any laundry, you'd put them in like a trash bag cause everything smelled like smoke.
Oh yeah. Wendell's was like that. When I started working there, they smoked inside. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And you're on stage and you just see this like wall of smoke just like floating. And then you leave and your hair and your clothes, everything smells like it. But then you're used to it by that point. Yeah. And then they took it away. So
it's an interesting thing seeing those honky tonks and kind of how they've kept their thing. But also, like, you know, you can't smoke inside and serve food anymore.
Yeah, cater to the people.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Unless you go to Shulman's.
Yeah, Shulman.
Best of both worlds. Yeah, y'all done talk me into it now.
We're gonna go smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, well, maybe cigars. Yeah, we have like, I think it's just called Cheeseburger there. They just have like one cheeseburger and it's just cheeseburger and it's so freaking good.
Well, when you have one thing on the menu.
Well, they have other stuff too.
Oh, okay.
They only fries, one cheeseburger. Chicken sandwich, cheeseburger. Yeah.
I love that. Simplicity.
And the drink. Yeah, and they only have like three cocktails you can order.
Yeah,
and it's like beers. Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's a cool spot.
Takes all the complication out.
Yeah, it's like I want this beer, and then it's a good spot. But their cheeseburger, I was like, I'll have that cheeseburger, and then I had it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the best cheeseburger.
This is the cheeseburger.
Yeah, they weren't wrong. It's the cheeseburger. Kurt's never had it because he doesn't like meat, but
that's all
I
right.
eat extra just for him. You know,
thank you, man.
I give him my fries. You know,
they do have good fries.
Yeah.
But, Lord.
What is some advice that you would give to an artist? Because you moved here. Gosh, I mean, it was starting to flow.
Yeah.
But what is some advice that you would give to like a younger artist that would kind of be in the same time frame that, that you were coming up, like in today's times?
I feel like it kind of goes back to what we were talking about how you can do a cover just like somebody, or you can do it like you would do it. I think my biggest piece of advice is coming in wholeheartedly as yourself.
Yeah.
Not trying to chase what is popular at the time or what's working for somebody else, because it's working for them.
Yeah.
And that's them. But I think you, in order to achieve that for yourself, being the fullest version of yourself is the only way that's going to happen. So I think whether that's writing songs, your branding, whatever you want to call it, whatever that is, I think not trying to be anybody else. I feel like that's such, again, cliche advice, but you do kind of see the ebb and flow of like what becomes popular, and then everybody tries to start doing that thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait, somebody's already covered that. Like,
yeah,
we got that. I want to see what you can bring that's new to the table. And I'm speaking myself also.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just originality, individuality. Mm-hmm. I think that is really special. Makes you stand out without even trying, you know, and gets your most genuine songs written.
Yeah. Well, how about talk about that too? Like, what's some things that in the songwriting world that you've figured out over these last couple of years?
I don't know if I've really figured out much. I feel it's still a learning process for me.
Yeah.
I think just standing firm on things I would and wouldn't say, and how I would or wouldn't say them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll try to like fight for a line that maybe is said a little bit more country, or like it's not really like technically right grammatically, but it's still like the way you would say something. And I think, again, that plays into your originality, like sayings that maybe are only a thing where you're from, but incorporating that into your own writing, I think that brings new material.
More conversational writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I think keeping the people close that do know you, or just like forward thinking, not trying to change you, but trying to like work within who you are.
Yeah.
Not, again, not what's working for everybody else.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm the best guru in the writing world, 'cause again, I'm still learning every day.
It's the hardest, in my opinion, the hardest thing in music to do is to write a good song.
Yeah.
I've tried a lot of different things in music.
Yeah.
And the thing I'm the worst at is songwriting.
So. Well, because what even is a good song? It's so subjective. True. Or is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's very dependent on who's listening to the song. And I think that's the other thing with writing is I've been told, like, we need you to write a hit. And I'm like, okay, so what's a hit?
Yeah, how do I
well,
do that?
We don't know, but, you know, you'll know it when you hear it. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, I think the whole hit writing is not in my forte. I'm hoping maybe that'll organically happen on its own.
Yeah.
With what my version of a hit would be.
That's the best way to do it.
I mean, you can't go chasing down stuff that's like you can't even define, you know, like if somebody can't really tell you like X, Y, and Z equals a hit, then anything can be a hit. Yeah. So I think finding what your version of that is and selling yourself wholly on it, that is what's going to eventually be a hit in my book.
You know, and we can look at media based top 10 right now, and it could be like crazy different songs, you know. It could be like a Jelly Roll song, you know, or like Luke Combs has like a rock song out, like Oklahoma, or like whatever.
So Post Malone, like, now probably, you know.
Yeah,
they're all so different.
Yeah.
And it could be context,
you know,
like a Kojo song, you know. It could be like that, or like a Zach Top versus like a trap beat Morgan Wallen hit, or you know. So it's like
there's many different definitions.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that I think is the coolest about the genre expanding, is that there are bigger lanes for every track.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So the stuff that's extremely poppy, of course, is working right now. You're seeing it,
right?
But that also means that there's more people paying attention to the genre, so that the traditional sounding stuff or an expression on the side of that can get more traction as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it all will eventually lead back to a good place. Like, yeah. I don't know. It can't really hurt to have more ears on country music these days. And yeah. like you said, there's so many different types. I feel like there's a kind for everybody. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like a lot of music, but mm-hmm. the traditional sounding stuff's probably the closest to my heart.
Right.
You know, like the Americana side.
Yeah.
The traditional sounding stuff. But I tell you what, that Big X to Plug Shaboozy song, I really like
it. I love that song.
I love it.
The newest one?
Yeah. Drink Don't Need No Mix.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Oh, man. I'm such a grandma. I'm really bad at brushing up on new stuff. So
I feel like a lot of artists are kind of that way sometimes, where it's like they are purposeful with not listening to everything that's new all the time.
Yeah. Specifically in genre.
Yes.
Yeah. Because in genre, it can get in your head, like you're talking about making sure it's your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to too much of other genres, sometimes you're like, is this my own thing?
It'll get stuck in there. And I think that's a hard part about being in this town too, is just some people don't realize it, but you could play something, somebody could hear it, think it's catchy, and then 2 weeks later they're writing the same song, not even realizing it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what I try to avoid.
Yep.
Because I mean, it's great that the song is catchy, but it's like I don't want to rip nobody off either.
Yeah.
And I want it to be organic to me. So I'm listening to 90s and early 2000s and 80s, and I mean, I still listen to everything, but it is hard. Because you want like a pure mind, so to speak, when you go in to write a song.
Yeah.
Which is impossible, but.
Right. Well, it's all cycles. So if you're listening to stuff from the 70s and 80s, that's going to leak into your music.
Right. Yeah.
You know? But I feel like you doing your take of that is an easier thing to figure out than doing your take of whatever would happening in the center stream of country music right now.
Right.
Because in the 8 months it takes you to get it out, that center stream can change.
It can be something completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like right now, I feel like it's very acoustic driven, which is cool because I didn't really ever think I'd see that day. I don't know. It's always a mix. It's always ever changing. So
that's why you just got to be yourself and not worry about it.
Yeah. It's not because I think if you're here for the right reasons, it's not about there is a part of you that hopes to one day achieve that moment. But I think it's about the bigger picture and like one, being happy with what you're doing at the end of the day and the music that you're writing. And waking up wanting to do it and not it not turning into a job. And I think that's the one thing when and if you move here, you don't want to let it do to you, you know?
Yeah.
You want it to be still innocent and fun in a sense.
Yeah.
Because it'll get you sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And I've even on the business side, I mean, I've definitely experienced that too.
Yeah.
You know, like we are doing way more writers rounds and events than I ever thought that we would do, but that's what we're having to do to pay the bills.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like if you were going out and playing cover gigs when you wanted to be playing all original music, you know, it's just kind of how it works, you know?
Also, I've noticed we're talking about like playing just to play kind of stuff like that. I've kind of gotten back into that in the last few months. And it's just been really refreshing just to sit in a room and just play guitar for hours.
Yep.
And I've been doing that a lot. Like, it kind of reminded me of like being in high school. Like, I wonder what it would sound like if I did this or, you know, Googling Limp Bizkit tabs or something.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
And I've got that itch again where I just like, I'm not doing anything else. I'm just sitting in a room. And it's all because I got this little practice amp and I can bring it with me everywhere and it sounds good. So I just, this little Yamaha amp, and I've just been like playing. The play again.
Jamming. That's out, so. The best part is like, finding that curiosity again with music. And
Absolutely.
I don't know. It's just something I hope to never lose. Cause at that point it's like, what are we doing this for? Yeah. You know,
well, I still got it. I just found out. So
it didn't leave you. No. And I agree too. I'm hoping to, I've been going back and forth with some of my band members, just hopefully just wanting to get together, like write and mess around playing music just for the heck of it. You know, no other reason besides that.
A party or something.
I'm down.
Just have guitars and just, I'll bring my dobro over.
A good old-fashioned bonfire. Yeah.
I mean, I have that firewood that I have to get rid of before January,
I know.
We can take care of that, Nikki.
Yeah,
too.
We can have some of that fun Michigan stuff I brought home.
I'm ready. Take me to the sticks.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right, we got a party plan, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And you're all invited.
Yeah. Well, maybe not.
Yeah. Might be a couple.
I'm only allowed to have five people in my house, you know? But so it's cool hearing about the road life, and you've been kind of heavy on festivals, like since I've known you at least.
Yeah.
So, lots of festival dates. I think your show fits in almost any country festival, right? Like, I think it fits on like both sides. Like, you could play an extremely traditional sounding festival, or you could play a festival that has a lot of the stuff that you're hearing on Top 40 right now.
For sure.
And I think you fit in both of that. And I think that's one of the reasons why you can kind of be on almost any festival lineup that someone's putting out.
That's what I hope for. Cause again, my influence range is so wide, but at the core of it is that traditional country music. Like, that is what I came from, know and love. Everything else is just like also what I love, but I'm country girl through and through from South Carolina. So like, I think that is the goal again, is just to keep it all rooted there, but still have fun exploring and incorporating the other stuff that you love as well. So yeah, I also love like the Americana festivals, and I'm kind of wondering if maybe I can try out some of those, see how it goes. I don't know. I love that music as well. It feels very organic in live band. And I think that's always the goal for us, is for it to sound as not automated as possible. So,
well, that's one of the cool things too. Like, we were at Tailgating Tall Boys, so we just got back this weekend from Michigan, but we were up there in Bloomington, and Ben Chapman played the main stage. And they were literally just had wedges. So they're on the main stage, no in-ears, no click. They're just playing wedges. And it was crazy.
I bet they crushed that.
They did. They were great. And it's super fun because that's a different show. It's you hear it changing. You hear the pace of the song picking up in the middle of it sometimes. So it's
old school. Yeah, old school.
It's interesting sounding. You know, as a fan of music, it's cool to hear that stuff kind of happen, because being at these festivals, it's not the commonest thing. You know, a lot of these people are having tracks, or at least like the sets will sound like, if we hear someone three times in a summer, it'll sound pretty much the same every time. So it's interesting to hear the folks where it sounds a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's like, you want it to sound great live, but if it sounds too good, then you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, and for me, the first time I see it, I might not notice that. But like, if we're at eight festivals and I see the same act three times, I'm like, oh yeah, this is different.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like they're crazy on it tonight, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting to see. So like, that's one of the cool things about what we're doing this summer, is I get to see some of these headliners or even some of the openers two or three times.
Yeah.
So you get to kind of watch their set either develop if they put out new music, or just, oh, Hardy was on at this festival.
Right.
You know, like, he crushed at country concert, you know?
Yeah, there's so many festivals, so it is like good opportunity to see how that evolves, so to speak.
Is there some favorites you've seen this summer? Or?
Man, getting to watch Bailey headline shows, specifically this early in his career, headlining festival dates, is nuts. And his stage show is so crazy. That's another thing that I've kind of started to notice. I feel like Warner's production is like very different than other labels. I don't know if that makes sense.
Do you mean musically or like the live show?
The live show.
Like stage production?
Yeah, stage production.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So where Dan and Shay and Bailey's like production is like almost like movie-like. It seems maybe over the top compared to some other labels. I don't know if that's just some of the bands that I've seen from that or, but it seems like.
So I will speak to this, because I know that those cats have like probably hire folks to help them like design, and I wouldn't say like choreograph, but like build the show.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and then if you go to Drew Parker's on Warner, and so it's like, if you go to a Drew show, it's not going to be quite like that. So it depends on the act. But some acts are kind of like, it's more of like a cinematic sort of feel, where it's like a show where it's like, the video content is very prominent, and there's like cryo and pyro and all kinds of different things like that, which is cool. You know, it's just a different thing. And then some folks are just out there playing, which is great too.
Yeah.
So,
which is where we're at right now.
And the jelly
show. That's where we're at right now.
Woo! Yeah. You know, so.
The jelly show right now is nuts too.
I hadn't seen him live either.
He is a preacher.
Okay.
So is Kojo.
Yeah.
Kojo's.
He definitely is. Yep. So their shows honestly are like, setup wise, they're talking about different things, but they're kind of similar, you know.
And it's more about like the energy, the
and he's just speaking to the people directly, not trying to do it, but with just the songs. He's doing it with the songs, but then he's like speaking to the people.
Yeah,
It's very interesting. relatively comparison wise with other artists. Like Church does a little bit of talking up there, but it's the thing, the music. Where yeah. like Jelly is like, yo, here's my redemption story. Let me help redeem you.
Wow.
You know, it's almost like you're in therapy at the show.
Hey.
Which is cool.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome because I'm sure there are a ton of people that go just for that experience.
Yes.
To be related to in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was the first time that hit me. We'd seen Jelly a bunch, of course. Like I saw him play at the Caverns and a couple other spots. I've seen him like an outdoor whiskey jam years ago. But when it really hit me was when it was him and then Nickelback, and his show was just so elite, like right before Nickelback. And then like Nickelback was great, but that crowd was a Jelly crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and you saw that and you're like, oh crap. Like Jelly's that thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's that big where the crowd is Jelly's crowd.
He's really like hit the side of the market that just feels so real. And I don't know. It's just, again, it makes people feel seen and heard and
redemption
gives them something to show up to and put all that hard work and effort in changing into, if that makes sense. I don't know if that was words, but I don't know. It's just a cool story to watch unfold in this type of way.
Yeah.
And
it's like, if Jelly can make it, anyone can. That's kind of what he says.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, but he puts that throughout his whole show. So it's just like, it's super, even if the songs are sad, it's uplifting.
Right.
But it's all about how he presents it, which is cool. So getting to see him go from where he was just a guy performing music for me to where he's affecting me in a way where it feels like it's almost therapy.
Yeah.
It's been super cool to watch.
That's what makes a great artist, in my opinion.
Yep.
Just real.
Super cool. Yeah, super real. And one of the other things I'll say is I think Jelly and like his crossover from rock rap is what has shown all of these other outside of genre entertainers that there is a market for that crossover too.
Yeah.
Like I feel like his success has really helped be like, oh, there's a lane for this where I could do my thing here, which isn't exactly this thing,
but
I could do my version of this thing and there's a lane for it, you know?
Yeah. And again, it's like, there's people that listen to country, but also a bunch of other things too. So it probably appeases the folks that like country, but also Jelly Roll as his other artist as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just really cool that he found a spot for that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I know personally a ton of people that love him specifically for that because of his story and his redemption story. Yeah. So yeah, it's really reassuring to see that real people are winning that have been through actual like trials and tribulations and have come out better on the other side of it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, and then the other thing that I've seen that has been crazy is like Gavin Adcock.
Yeah.
So, like, Gavin's been selling out clubs like crazy, but when you see him at a festival, there is a bunch of people at a festival to see Gavin Adcock.
Nice.
Like, which is cool. You know, that's like, I remember when like Luke and Kane Brown and those guys were like first of three or first of four at like these big shed shows, and there was people that were there to see them.
Yep.
It feels like that, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's an interesting moment to see that. Dude, like Gavin, the one show, it was too windy, so he played on like they rolled out a freaking trailer and he played on the trailer.
Oh, acoustic. I saw that.
And it was, but the crowd was like into it.
Yeah.
So it's nuts. And it's funny, like Gavin's one of those dudes that people are like either love or hate. Right? Like, there's a lot of people that are like, yes, this is the guy. But then there's other people that are like, I don't know about this. Like,
yeah.
But it's just cool to see him find his fan base and really travel down that lane.
Absolutely.
And understand who he is and who his fans want him to be, too.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Like, he's like, all right, let's do it. You know?
He seems like he's a party animal in the best way. So
he is, yes. But, like, part of that is, like, his thing. Like, he parties, but he's not like crazy
right,
he's just bringing it on stage.
Hey,
which is
whatever
neat.
You got to do.
Have you played a Blue Room in Statesboro?
Oh yeah, played a couple times.
We saw
out
Gavin
that way
there, and it was insane.
Yeah.
That room just seems like a great room though.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like you have a front little short section and then you got the bar kind of in the middle. Mm-hmm. But the crowd there every time I played has been wild.
Yeah,
wild. which I highly appreciate.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And that's what they were like, dude, it's like this every weekend.
Yeah.
Man.
Gotta love those college towns.
Yeah. And it's cool to see that. Like, that's one of the things that before I lived in the South, you know, I didn't get to see any of that. I'd get to Dusty Armadillo. I'd get to Jurgles.
Oh, yeah.
I love Dusty. Again, like a great honky tonk.
Yeah.
I'd get to see like those ones that are regionally there, but now, specifically with Matt having been on the road, knowing all these clubs, he's like, yo, we got to go to this one, you know?
He's got a running list.
Yeah. He's like, we got to go to Rick's. Rick's actually having that Outdoor Flatland show. That's their first outdoor show there.
Oh, cool.
So they're having Flatland Cavalry play outdoors.
At Rick's Starkville?
Yeah, which would be sick.
I didn't know they had an outdoor section. That'd be awesome.
I think this is their first time adding it.
Yeah. Nice.
So it's, and I think Flatland's a great first act to do it because their fan base isn't going to burn the whole place down probably.
Right. You know? Yep.
They'll be all crying too much. So yeah.
But that's what I'm like. That's probably a good place to start.
Oh, yeah.
If you started outdoor with Gavin, it might not be the best idea. You know?
They might be rethinking their decisions after that.
They need more security, you know?
Yeah.
But it's cool to see that and seeing those cool venues start to, you know, adapt a little bit too.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so many festivals like we talked about, but one of those other things that could make a festival work is, okay, when an artist got at a club level to be such a big act, you couldn't book them anymore.
So yeah.
You lose them forever, kind of, right?
It's so weird.
So this is kind of expanding that. If
yeah.
you can have that like outdoor show where you can get 2 to 3 times as many people, maybe you can book them 1 or 2 more times.
Right.
You know?
It's worth it. I never want to stop playing clubs. I'm clubs are my favorite. So.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I remember Kurt, like we were talking about when they were in stadiums and he's like, man, I miss a little like club shows here and there, you know, just that feeling. But then you guys, when you were overseas, got to
play some clubs in Europe. Yeah. Which was
How was that?
I mean, in Paris, we played a 1,200 cap spot.
Wow.
So it was just like, it felt like the old days, but with a bunch more hits.
Yeah. People knew a lot more songs.
It was like AC was probably on, but not enough. It was just sweltering, and we just rocked it.
It can't be perfect. So that's what makes it the best.
Yeah, nothing works exactly right. That's kind of how these festivals are for us. Like, being at these festivals, every time we're like stressed out about something different.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, so
weather.
You're talking about saving your voice. Matt's been emceeing these Tailgate and Tall Boys. So he's trying to figure out, okay, he doesn't have in-ears.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no monitors. So he doesn't know how he sounds. You know, when he's on the catwalk and everybody else has in-ears, there's no monitors there for him to hear what he sounds like. So he's out there projecting his voice and he has a raspy voice and
he's
loud and some, you know, smoked cigarettes for a while. So like he has that too, but it's interesting. All right, now I got to sit. Make sure I'm not talking too much so I have my voice for the next 3 times I announce.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, especially when you have those days. It's like you're just like on one, you know, you just want to like run around and talk to everybody and really soak it all in. I don't know. It's a delicate balance.
It is.
Yeah, meeting fans will put a wear on your voice for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know, saying hey to everyone.
Yep.
But you love it.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Yeah. What is any other things that you have going on in the world that you want to talk about? I mean, we hit on most of the music stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're just in the process of making another record.
I can't wait.
Very excited about that. It's been a long time coming. I'm trying not to get too in my head about that whole selection process because Traveling Kind just happened so just naturally, I guess, because we had written a lot of the songs and then I wrote Traveling Kind with Eric Dillon. And it was just that day that I knew that, okay, this is the song that's going to define my first record. Like, this is the name of the record. So I think my top priority is just, I mean, people on social media have been so patient and so kind about being patient, waiting for another album and just more music. I'm not, like, the most active on social media, but I am doing a lot behind the scenes. And I'm just hoping that really pays off in the long run just because it's a lot of music that I really love. And again, just being able to work with a team that cares and wants you to be happy with what's going on there.
Yeah.
That is such a huge blessing for me at this point in my life. I'm just so happy to be there. So I'm just like trying to make the best of it and just trying to enjoy it too. I think we've got great musicians recording on this record. And and I mean, just so great at what they do and love music And you can just tell that through everything that's played. So yeah. I'm excited that it's, we're just doing it different. You know, we're doing it how we feel like we want to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's a good feeling. I don't know. It takes you back to the older days of not having as much pressure and rules, yeah. I guess. Yeah. So.
Listen, I see the smiles on your face. Yeah. I'm super happy for them.
So. Ooh, they're yeah. nervous, but also happy smiles.
Well, nervous is good, though, because that means you're going to make sure you do everything you can to make it work.
Yeah. Right? I'm just happy to have this feeling again because yeah. I didn't know when that was going to be. I was just kind of floating through the past, not floating through, but just, I don't know, trying to find the meaning in a sense over the past year of, you know, I'm like, you look at yourself, you're like, okay. What is it that you're here for? And it all goes back to just making really good music that you feel like you relate to, other people relates to, and you enjoy listening to it after it's done.
Yeah.
And you're going to enjoy playing it out every night. So that's the goal. And that's really what we're trying to bring it back to the basics a little bit. So yeah. I'm just thankful that it can be like that.
Well, we love it. I've been a fan since first heard you. I think I met you right before you moved to town, actually. You were in town for like a CRS.
We go way back, Nick. Yeah.
So just getting to watch your journey and just listen to the amazing songs come out. I can't wait for even more.
Thanks. Since. You're going to make me blush. You know, thank y'all for literally just from day one constantly supporting the music and having me on rounds and playing on my stuff. Like, I didn't know what to expect when I moved here, but to find y'all has just made me feel more at home and feel all the support. So thank y'all for doing that, not only for me, but for other up-and-coming artists as well, because there's not a ton of that going on these days. So we're grateful that it's genuine and real, no BS, like I was saying earlier.
Yeah. Well, we love you, and we're super thankful to have you, you know, to know you and to get to listen to your music.
I love you guys.
You too.
So much.
All right. Well, now you said you don't get on the socials that much, but you got to tell us where they can follow you on socials if they haven't.
I get on there.
I know. Just
I do every now and it goes in spurts. Yeah. Anywhere on social media, you can find me at Ashland Craft and on TikTok as well. Trying to get that going even more. But I think that's Ashland Craft Music or Ashland Craft. So you should be able to find me on there, just mm-hmm. and I'll be popping in with random thoughts every now and then.
That's the best part, actually.
Yeah, just very random now. But I'm gonna start posting a lot more about all the new music coming up and shows and what everybody can be looking forward to. So I'm excited.
Well, we're excited, and we're super excited that you're excited.
You see this smile?
Yeah. Well, thanks for hopping on with us and coming out here to the Old Hickory or wherever we're at.
This is the spot.
Yeah, it's fun in here. It's been a blessing.
With my Raise Rowdy cup.
Yeah.
That I got gifted.
Yes. Thank you, Orca.
Yep.
Thank you, yeah, Orca. Yeah, thanks, Orca.
Yeah.
Keep my drink going.
They're like, we're going to make you guys cups. I was like, sick. And they're like, no, we're making you a bunch so you can give them to artists. I'm like, yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Even better. But
Orca.
Like I said, thanks for taking the time to be with us and just always for being you.
Of course. Thank y'all for being you.
Absolutely.
And having me on here. I really appreciate it. Let's do it more often.
Yes, down.
Yeah. We can't wait another 4 years, five years to do this again.
Yeah, we got to pop in more.
Okay.
Now we have the studio. We can just have you at any time.
I'll just bug Kurt until next time.
We got a gun.
Yeah.
We're going to get it fixed.
Yep. Well, all right, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure, as we talked about, you're following Ashland on her journey with this new music. New single just dropped. We're super excited about it, and we know you guys are as well. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Curtis on,
and we'll see you in the front row.